Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
I want to just for a couple minutes that are remaining in our service talk to you about the why of missions. The why. The big why. On the sixth day of creation, as recorded in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, it says, "Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good." I use the word good a lot. Do you? I use it all the time. Luke and I were in a conversation recently, and I think we said good like seven times. And it's just like such a watered down. In the Word of God, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, it's the appropriate word there. And there's a reason. This very good means to be pleasing. It means to be of highest rank, to be in the best possible position. And to be very good means to be in a perfect place. All that God made, which of course included Adam and Eve, was very, very, very good. And in those early moments of goodness, provision, safety, eternal life, favor, and a fine future, it was all very, very, very good. But you may know the story of the human race. Unfortunately, mankind lost that goodness when our first Adam and Eve exercised the privilege of free will and decided to take their own matters into their own hands. And the choice that they made to move away from God's very good into their own goodness came with a cost. And friends, I think that curious question that Adam and Eve asked back way back in the day is actually a question that we ask on a regular basis as well. Is God's way the best way? Is God's plan the best plan? Can I trust God? Can God handle me? In those crucial and critical moments, Adam and Eve took a calculated chance. And their story is found, as you may know, in the first three books of the book of Genesis. And Adam and Eve decided to chart their own course. And they threw caution into the wind. And they actually created an act of disobedience. The why of missions. This act of disobedience, you follow it through, it actually became what the Bible calls a sinful act. It was an act of turning away from God's very good towards their own goodness, and it came with a cost. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, Paul explains the cost of that choice. Paul calls it, there would be a wage for that. There would be a cost for that. And friends, mankind has been paying that wage of that choice for thousands of years. In the Garden of Eden, God gave them the gift of free choice and a free will. But as God said in Genesis chapter 1 to chapter 3, and Paul in Romans chapter 3, I will give you a free choice, I will give you a free will, but your decisions will have a cost, that will have a wage to it. Ever since, there's been a wage, there's been a cost to individuals, to families, to towns, villages, countries, continents, and the people of the whole world. So consider this morning, as we begin a greater love series, consider God's vantage point on his 7.3 billion people that he looks upon on his earth today. Now again, remember what God originally made. He looked at what he had made and he said, "Oh, this is very, very, very good." And I wonder what his reflection is today when he looks upon his earth and upon the people on his earth. The global affairs on earth today, they're not very good. World hunger, world war, anger, hostility, racial divide, addictions, disease, hurt, pain, and many, many victims of abuse there's a wage. And Paul says the wage of sin is death. We need to consider the cost. When men and women, regardless of the continent in which they live, violate divine spiritual laws and moral laws, there's a cost. And mankind has suffered that over thousands of years, paying the wage or the cost of moving away from God's very good and very best. Julie and I hiked the Chief not too long ago. Hikers? And when we got to the top, and we were near the ledge, one of the couples that were with us had a silly question, and they said, "I wonder what would happen if we jumped." And I'm going, suicide, you know. We know what would happen in advance. The law of gravity would apply, and, you know, humorously or not, you know, we would probably, from top of the Chief, we would fall to our death. We could exercise our free will, but we would be doing it with prior knowledge to the consequence, knowing that there is a law of gravity that we're well informed of. Friends, in the same way, there are spiritual and moral laws in this world. And Romans chapter 6 tells us well in advance that the wage of not following and participating in God's very good plan, there's a wage to it, and there's suffering. I'm thankful that the Bible is a book with a message of warning, but it's also a book that has methods and maps on how to get back to God's very good. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but God. Global missions starts with the word but God. It doesn't start in a boardroom at Living Waters when we wonder what we can do. Mission starts with the very heart of God's redemptive plan for his human race. But God. As bad as things maybe could ever be, God says, but the goal is to make all things very good again. God says, but it doesn't have to be this way. God says, but I care, but I love you, but I can help you, but I can restore all things. God's pursuit and desire is to make things very good again. And he has a twofold plan to that. He has an earthly plan and he has an eternal plan. His earthly plan we see showing up in Romans chapter 5 verse 8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. But God. If there was no but God, there'd be a greater problem in this world today. But God. But God. After Christ's ascension, he poured out his Spirit, and now the Holy Spirit is sending the church. He's sending Christians to join this earthly redemptive plan to bring mankind back to the very good that he has on his mind for individuals and for nations. God's earthly plan involves the sending of his church to the ends of the earth, and presently it involves 7.3 billion people. It's a big, big family. He wants every one of the 7.3 billion people on his earth today to have a very good life. And we've highlighted some good examples of people who take that mission very seriously. Darcy McAllister was referencing in his video that he is on a trip, and he is right now in this very weekend. He is involved, and we have a picture of it. He is involved with the distribution in Papua New Guinea of the Bible in a language, and you see the green. This is this weekend. This is like this weekend. Darcy is there distributing with the team. 1,000 people showed up for the distribution of the Bible for the very first time in the language of that community. Wow. Wow. That's real. I've been in Russia, Alexei and Tanya. I've been in Russia on two occasions, and the Assemblies of God Church is making a great difference in the country of Russia. I've been to Christo and Sarah Emanuel's church in Chennai, India, and preached at Living God Church in their multiple services. And then Julie and I ministered to a group of people called the Untouchables. Wow, what a room to be in. And then to travel to the center of India, to Nagpur, where Frank and Julia is, who arrived on a bicycle decades ago with a little briefcase on a bicycle into central India, and there now has a center for boys and a center for girls, helping hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids. Why do these people do this? It's to create a very good as part of the earthly plan. God's ultimate plan, of course, is an eternal plan, where it says in the Bible that in John chapter 14, verse 3, I will come and get you so that where I am, there you shall be also. It's called the second coming of the Lord. We have a time frame here, and that is to work well before the return of the Lord, where, of course, the eternal plan will create the ultimate very good. Revelations 21:4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, 7.3, right? And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. So why missions? Why missions? It's because we're interested to make things very good again with Jesus' help. God, we're humble today when we consider your vantage point. We realize today your heart, you're a missionary God. You're a missions-minded Savior. We thank you that you continue to care for the people on your earth. We pray that you would enlist us again and again and again when we are distracted by our own ways. Call us back to participate in your earthly plan in light of the reality of your eternal plan. We thank you that we can help people have a better life on earth. And we pray that you would empower and enable us individually, as families, and as a community to be a people of good works and good deeds, locally and abroad. I thank you that you are you're still calling people by name to the ends of the earth. And I pray in this room today that great concern would rise in those you're calling, and confidence would rise in their hearts, while you would call them to a sacrificial path. You would help people in this room to take those courageous steps to follow you, even to the ends of the earth. People could be fed. People could be helped. People could hear of the good news that Jesus Christ is calling people to a better day and to a again, to a very good life on earth and for all eternity. We're humbled today, Jesus, by the work of your Spirit in this room, the empowering Spirit for global work. Come, Holy Spirit, fill your church. Fill your church. Empower your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us at Living Waters this morning.